everyone. Good. How about yourself?
Well, I can see everybody with you, fella.
I tell you what, you got your talk spread out.
In the property notice that there would be a workshop at the legislative city council meeting on January 28th, 2021. Welcome the opportunity to help
the city manages growth in a way that will be beneficial to the citizens of Bruce Valetti and provide some economics for whatever economic benefits to the city as far as helping with its finances and so forth, and as well as being able to control or have a better control over the development that I think is going to be coming. And I think it's going to be right around the corner. And I would just love to see Bruce Valetti be proactive in this. I really hate for it to be reactive and get pushed around and so forth. I want to make sure that any developers that are coming in or large businesses that would end up wanting to locate along the interstate to know that Bruce Valetti is prepared to deal with whatever their issues may be or their desires are, and that we have the right mechanism in place to address the issues that can arise through development. And of course, that's zoning, but not only that, but also the development process, the planning process, the procedures to go through, how it should be done, the timing of meetings that should take place, and who is involved in the initial review, as far as staff, and then you bring in someone from the city council, the city engineer, and so forth. I think those are things that those procedures, the process to go through, those things that really need to be looked at. Some of the items that I've noticed in just an immediate review of the ordinances and the comprehensive plan, there's, makes a one sentence comment as to what you need to do, but it doesn't explain how you do it. And so those are some things that just need to be expounded upon, and it may very well not, there may not be a requirement or a need to completely rewrite the ordinances or your zoning ordinance and your subdivision ordinance and so forth, but to actually expound upon definitions, procedures for approval of zoning and planning and so forth and what would be required. There are a whole host of things that I think that you're going to want to address and decide upon as far as how the city should be run from it. The development standpoint, getting current maps of the zoning maps, city limits maps, those types of things need to be brought up to date, because right now they're most of them are outdated. And I know that when I managed to get do the voluntary annexation of what was the Frank Mabern Enterprises properties along the interstate when it was under contract with James Construction. I made sure that was a voluntary annexation before we closed on that sale to James Construction. And felt like that it would be in the best interest of the city to have that happen. And so Mabern agreed to do it, and I think it was really, James Construction wasn't exactly excited once they found out that that had taken place, especially when they had the desire to drill a well, to provide the water for their operation on that property, which is, of course, the oil's in the jurisdiction of First Lady. So, you know, those are, I mean, that's pretty much why I'm, you know, I'm happy to take on the task if it's something that, that you as the council wish to have me do. And I'm open to any questions that you might have of me. I'll try my best to answer.
Well, one thing I'd like to make a point on over the last 20 years since I've been here, we have tried to look forward to the future growth here in this way. And we can see that it's coming, and we try to implement and put in place a certain policy, government. We do have a comprehensive plan that was prepared by the University of Texas. And a couple of years ago, the city had a firm, I don't know the name, that was going to help us write some of our new ordinances that I'm not sure how that has turned out. I haven't heard much about that since. And some of our conversations that we did, I'm not sure that they were actually finalized properly. And at this time, we don't really know exactly where our city units are. And we do need to get some of that out for sure. I know that we did communication, but I don't really think there is the administrator that actually followed through all the filings and everything. I'm not sure that she actually did follow through with a lot of the things that she should have, and those things need to be checked out and brought up today. And we're not going to look at our comprehensive plan and see if we need to make any changes to that. For the citizens, all of that may be a comprehensive plan. We have at least two different meetings here where everyone probably is invited in.
Mr. Mayor, hopefully you can hear me, but I think that there was some proactive action taken on the part of the city, like you're saying, as far as the comprehensive plan and ordinances and so forth, and if University of Texas in Arlington did help with that comprehensive plan, and so I think you have the basis, you know, a good base of ordinances to work from, but there's, I think there probably is some tweaking that needs to be done, some addition, expanding upon some of the clauses that are included in those documents that would give you a little more teeth and also just bring them, the ordinances, up to current standards that will help the council and staff be able to, as you said, control the growth that we know is coming. And so, I don't, at this point, I don't see a complete rewrite of anything. I think that you're on the mark, Mr. Mayor, about you've got some ordinances in place, but they date back, I think some are dating back to 2003. And I think that they just need a good review and update. I think that a couple of microphones are muted, including the mayor's. Mr. Colbert is, well, I think, are all of you muted? Hello? I think the microphones for everybody in the room are on mute. Okay, I can hear the mayor. Now. Who is that?
That's James. Myself.
Oh, there you are. I can. Yes, sir.
Well, what I was going to say is, if you would, if you don't mind, I'd like the council to hear your qualifications and your statistics and your life experience and how you deal with stuff. Real estate from Austin, Houston, Dallas, and all surrounding Grand State and Temple, which you've been highly involved with in your final office 35-40 years. The council will know one way or another that you have the knowledge and expertise to help us rewrite these laws and bring us all kind of the last 15 years or so where we've been behind. And, even address the deal about the UP Horizon Bank, which you told me so kind of have to have to proceed this year. Thank you.
Certainly. Be happy to do so. First of all, I'm certainly not going to say that I'm an expert in all phases of what is needed as far as the city of Bruce Valetti on its ordinances, but what I don't know, I will find out and or bring in someone who does that can address that particular matter. As far as my background goes, I graduated from born and raised in Waco, graduated from Baylor in 1977, and immediately went to work for my father-in-law in Temple in the real estate business. And it was a strange relationship, to say the least. It was my wife saying, "I want to go home," which meant to Temple. And I told her, I said, "I don't think that's a good fit because I know what your daddy wants to be and what he does." And she said, "Yes, but I still want to go home and you can go to work for my daddy." And so I end up in Temple in May of 77 going to work for my father-in-law, and my mother-in-law wrote the checks. So whatever took place at the office was taken home, and discussion was had with my wife as to what took place, and me stating on several occasions that I'm not so sure I like my mother-in-law. But what I did learn from them was how to develop real estate, how to assemble it, how to market it and sell it, taking it, you know, all the way through the processes. One of the things that my in-laws did, or my mother-in-law's parents, were Mildred and P.R. Cox, who founded the town of Harker Heights. And it's, of course, Harker Heights has grown to be a bedroom community of Colleen and Fort Hood. But the lessons that were learned from that certainly influenced my father-in-law and myself as far as how we dealt with cities afterward. And initially working for my in-laws was, I pretty much cut my teeth on taking large tracts of land, rural properties, and subdividing those, and working with the rural water corporations and expanding utilities, you know, water service to those tracts of land, and you know, getting them sized correctly and making sure that meters were available for the properties that were selling. Also, establishing restrictive covenants the right way instead of the wrong way of doing it. And start out with that. There was a lot of mistakes that were made, you know, starting out in applying restrictive covenants, but then I figured out, wait a minute, there's got to be a way to make sure that these restrictions stick. And so it developed a way of making sure that was accomplished. From then on, we were pretty much, my father-in-law and I did site selections all over the United States for companies like McLean Company, that was still owned by Drake McLean. We did their site selections from California to Florida, locating one of the plants was in Kissimmee, Florida, and but we did them all over Texas and then to Colorado and so forth for them. And then we also did site selections for Scott and White before Baylor merged with them, and some other corporations as well, doing their site selections across the country. And all of that was a great experience, and learned a great deal on how county and state, county, and municipal governments operated, each one having you know, a different way of thinking, and figuring out how to deal with the issues that they would raise, and how to get accomplish what my clients needed. And I guess more recently, you know, through the 2000s, you know, the early 2000s, 2000, 2010, and in that time period, a lot of what I've done is assembling tracts of land and working with multiple property owners and keeping them all on the same page, and bringing in you know, developers to acquire the property and put in developments. Some of those, to give you an idea of some few of the retail projects that I put together. One was Temple Town Center in Temple on the on Loop 363, is where Hobby Lobby and Staples were located. And assembling that was eight properties with eight property owners, and actually more than that, as far as other shifts, but, and the Temple Town, and let's see, the Temple Town Center, the Burt Creek Crossing in Temple, where, Home Depot and Target are located as well. And then also with, Central Texas Marketplace, in Waco, which was about a 220-acre, development. And, you know, TxDOT, I still remember the first conversation I had on that project, in my first meeting with TxDOT, and John Over was the, engineer, TxDOT engineer, for I-35 at that time. And the first word out of his mouth was no. And then in finally getting him to open up, he says, so I'll grant you one right turn in off of I-35 southbound and one right turn out on the frontage road along 340. And, he ended up with, five multiple, points of ingress and egress. So it took a while to work through the process with them. In fact, it actually took 3 years to close that deal, but we made it happen. You know, since then, you know, as far as credentials, I've always felt like that education is vitally important. You know, learning how to do, you know, different aspects of real estate. There have obtained some major designations in the real estate industry, one being the accredited land consultant, which is through the Realtors Land Institute. It has to do with not just rural properties, farm and land, but, you know, or farm and ranch properties, but also with transitional land, which is what you have a lot of in the Ursuline area, and how to deal with the development aspects of that. Another designation is the CCIM designation, which stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member, where you're dealing with the investment properties and dealing with investors of real estate. Then the SIR designation, that is the Society of Industrial and Office Realtors, and had the dual designation of both office and industrial broker with the society. And the last designation that I have that I'm extremely proud of is Counselors of Real Estate and the CRE designation. Counselors of Real Estate is a smaller organization than the others, and at times I still wonder how in the world I was invited and was able to join this organization, because you have PhDs and attorneys and right of way agents and appraisers and you know, who are doing, you know, deals all over the world. And it is an international organization with members in Europe, even in Eastern Europe, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, and so forth, and as well as, I'm sorry, I should say Czech Republic, but anyway, but you know, Canada and so forth. And our meetings are extremely well run, and there are a lot of information comes out of those conferences that we have. And one of the things that I'm serving on a few committees for the Counselors of Real Estate, and one of those is the foundation, which is the issues grant monies to different organizations that might apply for financial help in dealing with real estate issues. And then also as far as on the consulting core steering committee, which assigns, which accepts applications from different organizations for help in driving doing the analysis and driving a solution to real estate issues for different organizations. And the Catholic diocese have hired us, as well as municipalities and so forth. Which has been very enlightening to see how things are handled in other areas of the country. And just feel blessed to be a part of that organization. And the members of these different organizations are ones that I lean upon if I have questions as to, for instance, housing or open space or strategic action plan and so forth. These are things that I know that I have fellow counselors that I can call upon to help me address those questions and issues.
You deal highly with the municipalities, which I assume you do, like the
Yes, municipalities, in particular, Temple and Belton. I know the staff quite well of these towns. With Belton, Sam Listy, who is the city manager of Belton, I've known him since he first arrived in Bell County. Went to work for Temple in the planning department, and he worked his way up to assistant city manager, and then Belton hired him. I know what makes him tick, and we learned that over the years. And then as far as the there's the city planner that Sam had hired is now with the city of Temple. And she's an assistant city manager in dealing with neighborhoods and neighborhood conceptual plans and so forth. Her name's Erin Smith. And Erin and I have a great working relationship where we correspond almost weekly. And, she asks a lot of questions, and I work, work with her the best I can, as far as addressing different issues that might arise with property owners that I represent. One of my clients is Frank Lagrin Enterprises, and I know all of you are familiar with Frank Lagrin Enterprises, and the city will show up and tell Ms. Lagrin that they want help. They're asking for this or that or whatever as far as getting her to volunteer to donate or agree to some idea that's popped into Erin or Bryn Meyer's head, Bryn Meyer being the city manager. And then having to deal with their ideas and advise my clients accordingly. Like Ms. Mayer, I have one in particular right now that I'm dealing with that when I saw it's only 30%, the plan's only 30% produced at this point, and I took a look at it and I went, there's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to have Ms. Mayer agree to this, and so we're going to, we'll push back on that. But, as far as where we go, with the city of Temple, I have served on numerous committees and boards. I served 3 years on the Planning and Zoning Commission and served as chair of that organization. Development Standards Advisory Board, I was on it. oh goodness, TMED committee, when we were first thinking of the idea of TMED, which is the Temple Medical and Education District, which was established incorporating the areas between the VA hospital and Scott White over to 31st Street, and from Avenue R South, and now it extends down South 5th Street all the way to Black Lamb Road. So numerous other committees initially involved in the what we call the I-35 overlay district for Temple, that extends from city limit to city limit, and affects how you can utilize the property, how it can be developed, and what criteria that you have to go through as far as landscaping, setbacks, signage, and so forth, dealing with, you know, all of those issues, and making sure that developers coming in, you know, follow those regulations. I guess I could keep going. Yes, sir.
Mr. Collins, what do you see coming to Bruce Lee in the next?
I think.
What do you see?
Well, let me first address the geographic issues of Bruce Lee. On the positive side, it has a tremendous amount of interstate frontage. However, you have a big obstacle for development on the east side of the interstate, and that being the railroad. That's a problem that is not going to go away. It's something that needs to be dealt with. I think that your city engineer, you know, is well qualified to address those items, especially when it's comes to the future sewer treatment facility and running lines under that railroad track. But that's something that's going to need to be addressed as far as development on that east side, which I see primarily being residential when you're, as far as, you know, north, especially north of 53. Or I'm sorry, of Highway 7. But then I think that there's something that with that railroad being in place on that east side, you know, not today, maybe not even 5 years from now, but there needs to be considered how that property might be developed in the, you know, and it may be an industrial user that could come in and being able to utilize that rail. It's something for brainstorming. It's not a problem, you know, something that you try to solve today, but down the road. On the west side, there's much, much more opportunity for development to take place, multi-use projects, you know, certainly residential. But right along the interstate being commercial type of uses going in along that. You know, typically, the depth on your retail commercial type of development, you know, it may only be about 500 to 750 feet deep. And you need to look at, is that the right depth off of the interstate frontage road, you know, to consider on the types of uses, you know, allowed through the zoning ordinance, or should you go a little deeper, or some places you may need to go a little shallower. But I think from a residential standpoint, I think you're going to see over the next few years some good growth taking place in Bruce Valenti, and some of that land is going to be outside the city limits, And you need to be able to have a mechanism that makes it desirous on the part of the developer to have to volunteer the annexation of that property. And those are some things that we can, kick around and see if there's a way to, accomplish that goal of getting that development inside the city limits and served with city utilities. I think you're going to see Bruce Lady become a bedroom community for just not Waco, but also for Temple. And I think you're going to see the potential for growth similar to what Gerald has gone through with Sundara and the other developments that have taken place in that Gerald market. If you know how fast Austin has grown, you've seen how Round Rock has responded to that, Georgetown responded, and then you jump all the way out to Gerald. And, it's definitely a bedroom community, commuters into Austin and so forth. And I think you're gonna see Bruce Valetti take on a similar appearance and growth pattern as Gerald. And I think you're going to see residential developers that will come in and want to tap into the utilities, the services that Bruce Valetti is working on, and want to develop lots for residential use. I think you're going to start out with seeing more starter homes than you will upper end homes, just because that's typically the nature of the residential type of growth in newer areas. But that gets things rolling. Once you have rooftops, those rooftops will attract retail businesses, and so once residential development starts taking place, then you can expect the retail developers to come in and piggyback off of that. And you'll need to make sure that you have in place a good buffering plan between commercial, retail, and residential. You've got some of that spelled out in your current ordinances as far as landscape buffering and so forth, but I think there may be some need to improve upon that. There's also traffic count studies that you may need to be consider doing. And you need to look at your thoroughfare plan. Right now, I don't see a real thoroughfare plan. You have a transportation plan, but I don't really see much there as far as a plan. And I think that's something that needs to be studied. What most municipalities look to do is figure out where they see anticipated growth and what type of infrastructure needs to be in place for that growth to happen. And that means right of way, what type of, the type of roads that need to go where, whether it be a connector, collector, or an arterial road. I think that's something that the council needs to address. And they need to be placed on a map that's been approved by the council so that when a developer comes into town and starts looking at a particular property, the city has something to fall back upon as far as what they feel needs to take place as far as on that development, what type of road structure needs to go in. So, you know, if you're looking at some type of loop around the city, or whether you're looking to improve Main Street or whatever, any of the, or Mackey Ranch Road or any of those, you need to address the type of road and the amount of traffic that will eventually be traveling on it, and then consider whether it needs to be upgraded from, you know, a rural county road to you know, a collector or an arterial. So, I hope I've answered your question on that, but if I fail to do so, please let me know. I'm trying to be more direct. Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
This is Mark Fowler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Fowler, I'm sorry. I'm not. I don't see you on
my phone.
Changes might be needed, and then the next phase being actual writing up of, expansion upon the ordinances, which could take another, say 45, 60 days, something of that nature. But I would think that going through the whole process and where you're analyzing what the needs may be, that review process, and then doing some drafting and so forth of some changes to the ordinances. I guess in the long run, I would say we're looking at probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 months to 12 months. Monetarily wise, I think, this first phase, there's no question that, I'm certainly willing to take it on from a volunteer basis without, payment for my services. At some point, though, I know that I'll probably need to bring in different ones to help. I mean, I get tired of writing documents, but and I'm not an attorney, so I'm a real estate professional and counselor, but I can't write law, and so there'll be some time in this process that you'll need to budget for some expenses of that nature, and I would love to see if there's a way that we can get some, if not all, of the cost for this work to be paid through grants or whatever. And I realize that the city of Bristol City is maybe in sound financial condition, but it doesn't have deep pockets. And paying for the updates to ordinances is something, I'm sure you don't have budgeted. And really, it may need to look at some outside sources for funding.
That's rocking the boat as well, though, is as you go through some, it's leading to the sewer story across. Is that not correct?
Oh, the sewer project is key to making things happen. What you don't want to do is fall into the problems that South Bell County has fallen into, the Salado area and south down to Williamson County, where developers have gone out and bought up acreage, a lot of ranch land, and just been punching holes into the Edwards aquifer. And that's something that you don't want to see happen, because they're going to be developing outside the city limits, and if they can punch a hole in there and everybody goes on a septic system, it's not going to be a good thing for Bruce Valetti. And so I think that having the sewer system in place is going to aid the city of Bruce Valetti greatly. And it can help drive the developer into the voluntary annexation that you need in order to increase the tax base. So, yes, the sewer system is very important.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Sonia, I don't know if I can handle your questions. I'm sorry,
I do. So, I'm going to tell you now who you see. And some of the things I've been able to identify is our zoning, our planning procedures, like our planning and the ordinance, it doesn't even like a procedure, like step one through whatever. Those are definitely areas we need to focus on. And then the subdivision and the zoning ordinance that conflict. But trying to break that down to more specific, because right now, the way our commercial is listed, people can have an RV park. So you may have somebody decide to land on Main Street and decide for an RV park, so they have to stop it if it's still labeled commercial. So we need to work on those types and definitions. That was one of the things. And then the only question I have, are you familiar with how you can go about creating an ordinance to prohibit certain businesses from coming into certain areas? For example, these step packing places or 90-day run places. I've done some research in those places. I try to certain type of business that we may not want in specific areas. Are you familiar with those ordinances? And did you ever run into that?
Yes. Yes. And I could say, Sonia, on each one of those comments that you've made pertaining to the ordinances, every one of those comments, I would say yes to every single one of those. You are on track as far as, addressing the zoning classifications, the definitions, expanding the uses or addressing the different uses that can fall under commercial or general retail or whatever. And then also, like you say, in the cash advance and so forth types of business, tattoo parlors, one that we've been that's really caught hold are the sweepstakes types of businesses. That basically are one-armed bandits, and they're not supposed to be a cash type of business. It's supposed to be paying off in little prices that don't amount to any more than what goes into the slot machine. Those types of uses or businesses do need to be addressed in the ordinances and. And as far as you can't really restrict them from ever coming into the city, but as you've said, pretty much regulating them to a certain area of town, to where they're not going in right next to a nice restaurant that would open up in Bruce Clay, and detract, from that business and, keeping its customers away and so forth. So, you're right on track on all that. And those are things that, for instance, the city of Temple and Belton and Waco have addressed. And those are items that need to be given consideration by Bruce Clay.
I'm sorry,
what was that?
If the council approves for you to start cleaning, then would you be ready to start Monday?
I know you would want me to. But realistically, I would say we're probably looking at toward the end of the first week of February, so somewhere around that 7th to February 7th or 10th, somewhere in that neighborhood. I have a couple of projects that I'm currently working on that I need to deal with and get them off my desk. And one of them is on a project outside of out of town that involves about 2,000 acres of land that a client is trying to acquire, and so I need to deal with those issues, get those taken care of, and then I can jump right onto this. But when I go home in the evening, most likely will probably have the Bruce Valenti comprehensive plan and ordinances with me. And while my wife is wanting to watch, you know, some TV show or movie that I just can't stand to listen to, my earplugs will go in and I'll probably start reading and highlighting. So anyway. I think realistically, we're talking about that, you know, right after the first week of February, you can get moving on this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all. Yeah.
Mayor? May I speak? This is Mavis.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have a question for Mr. Thomas, if I could ask you. And it's part of it is a statement. Our ordinances are not, I've spoken to Tony about getting the ordinances that are from 2016 to 2018 that have not been put on that Franklin program. But wouldn't we need all of our ordinances gathered together and where we can put our fingers on them before Mr. Thomas starts?
Well, that's a great observation.
Yes, sir.
Yes, those definitely need to be done because if there are ordinances that were passed, you know, if you said 2016, 2018, you know, I've not seen those. And they certainly need to be added to the Franklin platform and so that they can be reviewed. And I'm wondering Mavis, how many of the council members have actually read those or have had access to that information?
Since 2016 is the last I can find of the Franklin, and I had discussed with Sonia about coming in after the first of the year and helping possibly, and take it before the council, but let's get them in a Google Docs file folders up to current 2020, December 2020. Let's get them all out there so that we have them. The council can see them because any council members that came on board this year in November, other than Ricky and Linda, were not on council previous and they have not had access to them.
Well, I think that is something very important to get accomplished and certainly before I would start delving in in any depth. I think that would be a very wise thing to do. I think that will help all the council members be able to understand, you know, what ordinances have actually been passed. And as Mr. Colbert and even Mayor Bass have commented about Sonia's predecessor having, you know, maybe not taking it far enough as far as getting those ordinances that have been passed, you know,
right.
That is a problem. I mean, one of those is, you know, that I think everybody in the room has pointed out is that, you know, the land is actually within the city limits of Bruce Valenti today. Where are those city limits boundaries today? I mean, you know, there's a big question mark on that. And, you know, which properties are they? Are you collecting, you know, property taxes from those owners? Do they even remember that they voluntarily annexed their property? You know, there are a lot of questions, a lot of unknowns that you're bringing up. So, yeah.
And myself did volunteer, says I will volunteer to help get those ordinances together so that we can be up to date.
think that's great. I'm not sure about your mental capacity right now for volunteering to do that, take on something like that, but more power to you. It certainly needs to be done, and I know that Sonia and Pam can use the help. So,
I was a big part of helping Rogers get theirs together when my husband went in council this first year, and we got them all out on Google Docs, all in call folders, and all up to date.
That's fantastic.
For the new administrator. So.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Anything else?
Sure.